This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. Welcome back to the show, everyone. Thanks for joining me again this Tuesday for another hour or so of old-time radio. We're going to start off this week with Alan Ladd in Box 13, episode titled Triple Cross from November 7th, 1948. Then it's Ripley's Believe It or Not and King's Reward. That will be followed by I Love Adventure and the Quan Moon Dagger from June 27th, 1948. But first, here's Box 13.
Box 13. With the star of Paramount Pictures, Alan Ladd as Dan Holliday.
Hey, look, boss. Look at this. An ad in the Star-Times out-of-town newspaper. Yeah.
Box 13, adventure wanted. We'll go any place, do anything. Well, this looks like the right answer, Tony. Mm-hmm. I think I'll write a letter to Box 13.
The letter was postmarked from a city in Nevada. It came airmail, special delivery to Box 13 and me. It sounded like a great chance to grab a change of scenery and maybe a little fun. Fun? Brother, how wrong could I be?
And now, back to Box 13 and Dan Holliday's newest adventure, Triple Cross.
Just run an advertisement in the Star-Times, one that reads, Adventure Wanted, will go any place, do anything, and see what you get. A lot of them can be interesting, like the one I listened to Susie read, the one that came airmail, special delivery from Nevada.
Enclosed is enough money to buy you a plane ticket to Los Meros. You want adventure? All right. Come to Los Meros. Register at the Paradise Hotel. Wait in your room until you're contacted.
And that's all it says, Susie?
That's all, Mr. Holliday. There's not even a signature, even. It's what's called an ominous letter.
What kind of a letter, Susie?
Ominous. That means it's not signed by anybody.
The word you mean is anonymous.
Oh.
But you could be right after all. Well, Susie, lock up the office and look for me when you see me with a new plot and a nice tan. A new plot and a nice tan, I said. I got the plot, but the tan almost turned into a beautiful white pallor, the kind that goes well with lilies. The plane trip was smooth. The trip from airport to the Paradise Hotel was nice and easy. And the hotel itself? Well, it was the only one I could remember that looked like the ads in the travel folders. Oddly enough, there was a room reserved for me, in my name. Okay, somebody checked and found out who I was. I explored the suite, thinking maybe I'd get a lead on what this was all about, but it was just a fancy set of rooms, all newly decorated. I sat down, and then, about a half hour later... Come in.
Message for you, Mr. Holliday.
Oh, thanks. Here you are.
Oh, thank you.
Just a minute. Who gave this to you?
A man, sir.
What kind of a man? What'd he look like?
Oh, just a man, sir.
Oh, I see. A head, two eyes, nose, two ears, and a mouth. That his description?
Yes, sir. That's exactly what he looked like.
Good. Then I'll know him when I see him. Oh, did he ask for an answer?
No, sir. He just told me to bring the envelope to you. Will that be all, sir?
Huh? Oh, yes, thanks. Well... $100 bills and a message that said, buy a red carnation in a flower shop and put it in your lapel. After dinner, go to the casino roulette table, buy $200 in chips and put them on number 18. If you win, walk away, wait 10 minutes and put half the winnings on number 22. After you play, wait in the casino. So with a carnation in my lapel, I bought $200 in chips and walked to the roulette table. There weren't many players. It was a little too early for the big crowd. So I waited a minute and watched the play. Took a look at the croupier, but I might as well have been in Timbuktu. He didn't give me a tumble. Okay, the best way to see what was going to happen was to see. I shoved a whole 200 on number 18. One or two of the other players placed bets, and then...
No more bets, please. No more bets. Number 18, red and even. Your chip, sir.
The croupier shoved the winnings across to me. I watched his face. If he had any expression, it was on the soles of his shoes. Well, maybe $7,000 win was common around here. I left the table, sat down, and did a little problem in arithmetic, which figured out to be $126,000. That's what I'd have if number 22 came up. And, brother, it looked from where I sat as though it would. The 10 minutes went by, and I walked back to the table. Waited until the wheel stopped.
Number 16, red and even. Place your bets, please, ladies and gentlemen.
Slowly, I shoved 3,500 in chips to number 22. This time, the others around the wheel did look. 3,500 to 35 to 1. Then the wheel began to slow up.
No more bets, ladies and gentlemen. No more bets, please.
That croupier was as cold as the floor of a mausoleum. Somebody dropped a pin, and I heard it hit the floor. The white ball clicked, clicked, clicked its way until...
Number 22, black and even. Your chip, sir.
I cashed in the chips, and there I sat, with $126,000 tucked away in my inside coat pocket. Somebody had that wheel fixed for a killing. I began to wish I was back in my office. I didn't like it. A crooked play. Why? Who? I made up my mind to go to the owner of the place and wash my hands of the whole thing when...
Oh, there you are, Mr. Holliday. I've been looking for you. I have a message for you.
Yeah?
Well, it's verbal this time, Mr. Holliday.
Oh, what is it?
You're to go into the bar and wait.
Is that all?
Yes, sir.
The same man gave you this message?
Yes, sir.
Did he still have a head, two eyes, a nose, and two ears?
Yes, sir.
All right, here you are, kid.
Oh, thank you.
You know, if this keeps up much longer, you'll be able to retire on my tips alone.
Thank you, Mr. Holliday. Will that be all?
How much did this character give you to forget what he looked like?
Well, nothing, sir. Nothing at all.
And a smart boy like you should have taken a good look the second time.
Huh?
Especially since I asked about him after the first message.
Oh, he was big, dark, a little mustache, and he had a little white scar over his right eye.
Would you take $5 for that information?
That's all right, Mr. Holliday. No charge for that service.
Good boy. I'll see you later.
Yes, sir, Mr. Holliday.
I walked toward the bar, wondering what was coming next. I didn't like that fortune burning the cloth in my pocket. The bar was like my suite. Fancy, rich, and expensive. I climbed up on one of the stools, and the bartender came over and...
Yes, sir. May I serve you, sir?
Got any ginger ale?
Yes, sir. What with, sir?
Oh, by itself. Just a glass of ginger ale.
Just a ginger ale?
Uh-huh. You see, I like the bubbles.
Champagne has bubbles, too.
But they're still around the next day. Just a ginger ale.
Yes, sir. Of course.
Excuse me. Is someone sitting here?
Oh, no, I don't think so.
Thank you.
Here you are, sir. Ginger ale.
Thanks.
The usual, please.
Okay. Yes, sir, may I?
You got a light?
Of course.
Thank you.
Don't mention it.
Here you are.
Thanks. Why do you drink ginger ale?
I like it. Why do you drink martinis?
Same reason, I guess. It's a brilliant conversation, isn't it?
Well, I've heard better.
You're not very friendly, are you?
A Boy Scout is always friendly.
And does good turns. So I hear.
Do you want to be helped across the street?
All right. I'll shut up.
I took a good look at her. There was something scared looking about her. She was nervous. Well, so was I, because the minutes were passing and I still had that money. And I wanted to get rid of it. But I wondered about the girl, whether she had any part in this. I watched her out of the corner of my eye. She picked up her bag, reached for a lipstick, and then...
Oh, clumsy.
So it's true what they say about women's handbags. You get the stuff on the bar, I'll pick up the kitchen sink off the floor.
I'm so sorry. Did the powder spill on you?
No, it's all right. Yeah. Here you are.
The mirror didn't break, did it?
Nope, you're still good for 7 years more.
Thanks. Thanks ever so much.
I told you I was a good boy, Scott.
You have a nice smile.
Want a toothpaste commercial to go with it?
Don't be nasty.
I'm sorry. I guess I'm just as nervous as you are.
Let's talk about something else.
She chattered away.
It really is.
I listened with half an ear. Once in a while, threw in a yes or a no. And the clouds began to gather. The mirror at the back of the bar went back and forth. The people got bigger, then shrank the midgets. Somebody drove a plane through my head. It buzzed around and made a bad landing on my brain. That...
There you are. Feeling better now?
Oh.
You'll be all right. Just lie there. Take it easy.
Sure, I... Hey. Hey, I'm in my room.
Of course. We brought you here.
We?
I'm the hotel physician, Mr. Holliday.
Oh, what happened?
And just a fainting spell. Nothing serious.
Fainting spell? What are you talking about?
Your fainting spells. Your wife told me you get them.
My what told you what?
No. Just lie back.
Whose wife said what?
Your wife. She's got to have a prescription filled.
Now, listen, Doc, I... Hand me my coat, will you?
It's better if you lie here.
It's better if you hand me my coat. Give it to me.
Oh, very well. There you are. What's the matter?
Was my wife in this room?
Of course. She came up with me.
Uh-huh. Doc, what would you do with $126,000?
What? That's an odd question. What would you do with it?
I don't know. Because I haven't got it anymore.
Now, back to Triple Cross. Another Box 13 adventure with Alan Ladd as Dan Holliday.
So there I was, $126,000 in the red. If it was meant to be taken from me, then somebody was working it the hard way. Sure, the girl slipped something in my ginger ale when I picked up the stuff that fell out of her handbag. She took the money. All right, I wanted no more of it. I was going to head for the nearest exit, running, not walking, when... Come in.
You Holliday?
Yeah. Do I know you?
Call me Tony. I'm the guy who wrote the Box 13.
Oh. All right, goodbye, Tony.
Sit down.
What's the idea?
Funny, I was going to ask you that.
We're playing 20 questions. Let's skip the other 18, Tony.
I got a big one left. Where's the dough?
You tell me.
Give it to me.
Well, I didn't like him. I didn't like the gun he was playing with either. And I didn't like the little white scar over his right eye or the little black mustache. I was willing right then and there to cross him off my friendship list. But I told him what happened.
It's a great story. Ain't heard one like it since I read fairy tales.
Well, I don't care if you believe it or not.
You got no regard for your health, Holliday.
Look, Tony, I'm leaving this place
You'll
now.
You'll be too heavy to carry out if you take one more step. That's better. Now, what kind of a frame is this?
Once more, you tell me. I played a crooked wheel downstairs. I don't like that.
You got adventure, didn't you?
I don't want anything that's crooked.
Look who's talking. Who was the girl?
Believe it or not, I never saw her before.
What did she look like?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Ever try to take a good look at anyone in that bar downstairs? It's too dark to even see a lighted match.
You're smart, Holliday. The game with the girl is neat, awful neat. You get the dough, play doggo. Act like the girl slipped you Mickey. Later she turns up with the dough and you two split.
Now talk sense, Tony. I didn't know why I came to Los Morris in the first place. I didn't know how I was going to get that money. How would I have time to dream up that frame with a girl?
Yeah, I never thought of that. Okay, Holliday, maybe you're telling it straight.
Okay. Now can I go?
No. You get that money back first, then you can go.
I don't think I'll stay for the ninth inning, Tony.
The game has not started yet, but you get that dough.
How?
That's your problem, but get it.
Look, Tony, I'm backing out of this. You know I can go to the sheriff.
Oh, no, you won't. Because there'll be a tail on you from now on up. One move like you're going to the law. Understand?
Okay. Okay, I get it.
And there'll be somebody in this room to see that you don't use the phone. You'll be covered like a pool table, Holiday.
What if I can't find the girl? What if I can't get the money back?
The boss will be awful mad.
And?
There are worse places than Los Morros to spend a lifetime. If you live.
Ever have one of those dreams in which you try to run away from something and can't? Well, this one, with my eyes wide open, was really something. Tony and I went downstairs. Two other characters detached themselves from chairs when Tony nodded at them. Brother, I was covered. It looked hopeless. With Tony not far behind, I asked the doctor if he'd ever seen the girl who said she was my wife. Well, there was no dice there. Then I remembered something. I told Tony I was going back into the bar.
Bar? What for?
Now, look, Tony. Let me do it my way. I'm the one that's on the spot, so let me play it the way I want.
Okay. I'll watch, and don't try for a quick steal, because the boys outside know who to look for. Go ahead.
Thanks. What would I do without you, Tony?
I don't know, because you're not going to be without me. Remember, I'll be watching.
Yes, sir. May I serve you?
Well, feeling better, sir?
Well, much. Where were you when I fainted?
At the other end of the bar, sir.
Oh, yeah. So you were.
It wasn't our ginger ale, sir.
No, it wasn't. I just have a loose head, and when I shake it, it comes off.
May I serve you something, sir?
Yes. An answer to a question.
Well, what's that, sir?
Who was the girl who sat down next to me?
I don't know, sir.
Oh, yes, you do.
I beg your pardon, sir.
Quit the sir business. You knew that girl.
Why do you say that?
Because when she sat down, she asked for the usual, and you brought her a martini. And you said okay when she asked you.
What does that prove?
The martini proves you knew who she was. The okay means she wasn't a guest of the hotel. No bartender, as polite as you are, would say okay to a lady guest. That makes sense?
Why do you want to know who she is?
Does that make any difference?
Yeah, because I wouldn't want to see her in trouble.
I'll try to keep her out of it.
I won't tell you.
Ever see a picture of Alexander Hamilton?
Hmm? What are you talking about?
Well, here's one. And funny enough, it's on a $10 bill. In fact, his picture's on all five of these bills.
Yeah. Her name's Kathy Lee. I think she has a place at the Las Palmas Courts.
Thanks. Put these pictures in frames, will you? I found the Las Palmas Courts. And, of course, Tony behind me all the way. The name list in front said Kathy Lee lived in number 8. I looked around before I turned in the walk. Yeah, Tony was closer to me than varnish on a tabletop. I found number 8 and stopped for a second. Looked for a phone line, but there wasn't any. I knocked at the door. No answer. I tried it again. Then I heard Tony whisper from the shadows.
Try the door, Holiday.
I did. It was unlocked. Tony coached from the sidelines.
Go on in.
I went in and closed the door behind me. It was dark. I decided to risk a call. Kathy? Kathy? Kathy Lee? She wasn't there. I fumbled my way to what felt like a dresser and a lamp. Turned it on, and what I saw made me turn that light off fast.
What's the matter?
She's dead.
What are you talking about?
You heard me. She's dead.
You sure?
Well, go in and look.
You go back in and look for that dope. Go on.
Now look, Tony, I don't know any more of this. That poor kid's dead. Murdered. I want you to call the sheriff.
No, you don't. I said you go back in there and look for that dough.
You look for it.
Leave my fingerprints all over the place. Now you go back in there and hunt.
Don't be a sap. Whoever killed her took the money. Don't you see that?
Maybe. But we'll play this angle all the way. Now stop talking and get in there.
I hated to turn on that light, but I had to. I didn't look at her. I looked through the room. Then I found something. A plane ticket to San Francisco, leaving that night. And a boat ticket for South America. They were in an envelope, but the information on the envelope said there would be two reservations. I put it back where I found it because I didn't want Tony to find it on me. And there was something else. A locket with a man's picture in it. I took it off its chain and shoved it in my pocket, then I left.
Well, Helene?
It's not there. I told you it wouldn't be.
Stand still. Back toward me.
A frisk, Tony? You don't trust me, do you?
Shut up.
Well, I told you.
Who killed her?
Find that out and you'll know where the money went.
Come on.
That's so funny.
Helene, right now I wouldn't want to be in your shoes.
Tony was right. People at the casino saw me win that money, and somebody must have seen the girl with me. Then I got the Mickey. The money was taken. The girl killed. Who did it? Mm-hmm. Me, Dan Holliday. Because the girl clipped me for the money. Well, this was a beautiful frame. Any art gallery in the country would be proud to hang it. But I knew something Tony didn't. The plane and boat tickets. Two seats. One for Kathy and her murderer. Somebody who left her tickets in her bungalow to make it look as though she was in on the $100,000 job by herself. Sure. Now her killer was taking a plane. In 1 hour, then a boat to South America. I could have told Tony, but I wanted to wrap it up myself. Besides, I wanted to get the whole thing to the law. On the way back to the hotel, I figured something out for myself. But I'd have to see the boss of the casino, and I thought I knew how to do that without Tony tagging along. The casino was full. I stopped. Tony stopped.
What's the idea? What now?
I've got to think.
Up to your room.
No.
You want to get hurt?
Sure, go ahead. Shoot me. Now. In front of all these people. You know, Tony, you wouldn't get 10 feet.
Smart, ain't you? Okay, what's now?
I'm going to play blackjack.
What?
Want to watch? I sat at the blackjack table. I had as much interest in the game as Aunt Mamie back in Iowa, who never saw a deck of cards in her life. But I had an idea, and I played it for all it was worth. Look, dealer.
Yes?
I didn't like that last deal.
I beg your pardon, sir.
I said I didn't like that last deal.
Well, return your money, sir.
Never mind the money. Who runs this place?
Hey, what is that guy trying to put on over there? What is it?
It worked. In 3 seconds, I was surrounded by muscle boys, and Tony was hotter than a New York sidewalk in August. But he couldn't touch me. A minute later, I sat across the table from the owner of the casino. I told him what happened, and when I finished, he stared at me and said,
"You're trying to tell me somebody let you win that money on my wheel?"
I am?
You're crazy. The wheel's straight.
But you know I won that money.
Sure I do. Any time $100,000 slides across, I know it. But
but this time it was fixed. The croupier was tipped I was to win.
Wait a minute. Marty, send Frankie up here right away. Huh? Oh. Okay, forget it.
What's the matter?
Frankie, the croupier. Went off duty just after you won. He's not back yet.
And he won't come back. Now, somebody planned to take the house this evening for that money. Somebody who couldn't risk getting it himself. So I'm the logical one. No one knows me here. I'd look like just another player. Later, Mr. Fixit plans to pick up the money and beat it. Who? Someone besides yourself who could get to the croupier and bribe him to fix the wheel. Got any ideas?
Yeah. One. My partner.
Well, that's it, then. It's got to be.
But the girl, she doped you. That was a hard way to get the money from you.
Listen, I've got an idea, but I'm a little cramped for room. Some of your partner's boys, particularly a guy named Tony, are glued to me. Get some of your boys to shake them off, and I'll bring that money back to you.
How do you know where it is?
I know.
Okay, Holliday. But remember, fast play, and I'll find you if it takes the rest of my life.
It's a deal. Now, how about the boys?
They won't follow you. Marty? A guy will leave my office. Some mugs are telling him. Stop him. Got it? Good. All right, Holliday. You're on first base. Go ahead.
was sure he'd be at the airport, and I wasn't wrong. He was sitting in the shadows on the outside. I walked over to him, and he looked up.
Holiday, I thought you would be...
Thought I'd be framed, huh, Frankie?
What are you doing here?
I've got a message from Kathy Lee.
Kathy? She's...
You ought to know. You killed her.
You're crazy.
Not only that, you've got $126,000 in that bag. $126,000 that looked like easy money.
Shut up.
That money doesn't mean a thing. It's the girl who counts, the girl who was willing to do what you told her to do. The girl you triple-crossed and killed after you double-crossed your boss who bribed you to fix the wheel.
It's too bad you're so smart, Holiday.
It's too bad you led with that right, Frankie. Somebody call the police to come and clean this up.
Was... Oh, please hurry, Mr. Holiday. I want to hear the ending.
All right, Susie, all right. What do you want to know?
Well, how did you guess that Kathy Lee was the croupier's girl?
Well, her locket had his picture in it.
Oh, they should have given you the money as a reward.
No, thanks, Susie, they can have it.
But there's one thing I don't understand, Mr. Holiday.
And that's?
You didn't get a tan at all. You're just as pale as when you left.
Oh, $126,000. A murder and a tan, too, she wants. Good night, Susie.
Next week, same time, Alan Ladd stars as Dan Holiday in Box 13. Alan Ladd appears through the courtesy of Paramount Pictures. Watch for him in his new picture, Saigon. Box 13 is directed by Richard Sandville, with original story by Russell Hughes, and original music composed and conducted by Rudy Schrager. The part of Susie is played by Sylvia Picker. Production supervision is by Vern Karstensen. This is a Mayfair production.
Truth is stranger than fiction. And this is the proof. This is Ripley's. Believe it or not.
Thomas Thompson of Wolfley, Scotland, a professional chaser of ghosts, stepped out of a house from which he claimed to have driven a ghost and was struck dead by a bolt of lightning. Believe it or not. In a moment, I'll tell you the story of a man's loyalty and a king's reward. Sir Edmund Wyndham was convicted of disrespect to the king as a result of striking a foe in the presence of King Henry VIII. Sir Edmund was sentenced to have his right arm chopped off. When the sentence was to be carried out, Sir Edmund requested that his left arm be cut off so that he could continue to use his right arm, his sword arm, in the defense of his king. As a result of his unselfish request, Sir Edmund was granted a pardon. Believe it or not.
Broadcasting Company presents I Love Adventure. Incident number 10, the Kwong Moon Dagger, a new Carlton E. Morse production featuring Jack, Doc, and Reggie. It's late afternoon of a lazy day in the offices of the A1 Detective Agency just off Hollywood Boulevard. Doc Long is casting a rather disgruntled glance in the direction of Jack Packard, who is slumped back in his chair with his feet atop the badly scarred desk.
Jack, you realize ain't nothing been stirring for 3 whole days now?
Something will come along.
Well, man needs a little excitement once in a while.
Why not rent an alligator from one of the movie studios? You could wrestle with it.
Maybe you've got yourself ideas, son. It might... Uh-oh. Did you see what just walked in?
Five of them.
And all of them fair size, too.
Fair size, the man says. 8 to 5, they average 7 feet in height apiece.
Oh, well, please remain seated right where you are, gentlemen. Yes.
What's the pitch, friend?
We wish to search your office, Mr. Packard. You will oblige by remaining quite still. Yes.
No, pal, we haven't time. A previous engagement.
Yeah, with an alligator.
I regret, gentlemen. You will go nowhere.
If you think you hombres can come in here...
All right, take it easy, Doc.
Well...
The gun that just popped out of his sleeve says he can.
Whoa. And all five of these Hong Kong sports seem to have.
So, gentlemen, with your permission, we will search the office.
The door to the right hides a wash basin. The one to the left leads into a closet. You'll find 2 broken golf clubs and 5 years' accumulation of dust.
It is well, gentlemen. My men report there are no enemies concealed on the premises.
Well, you've no idea what a load that takes off our mind. Now what gives, friend?
You'll prepare yourselves to be honored by the presence of the Mighty One. Make obeisance, please, to the Flower of the Seven Heavens, the ruler of the Temple of Quang Moon, Princess Mai Ling.
Well, smack me pink and call me baby.
Please pardon the air with which my servant, Qin Lu, guards person of his princess. For 100 generations, his family has watched over well-being of royal ones of Akaobang.
Well, that's a job I wouldn't mind undertaking myself.
Take it easy, darling.
I do not mind, Mr. Packard. The flattery of your friend, Mr. Long, quite pleasing. You are wondering why I have come here, yes?
Well, that don't matter. If you'd care to sit down over here next to me, Princess...
Suppose we let the princess have her say, Doctor.
You are right, Mr. Packard. My business here is of utmost urgency. I wish to engage your service to recover for me Quang Moon Dagger.
Quang Moon Dagger?
You have heard of it?
Not never. How about you, Jack?
This Cao Bang is a small independent kingdom lying in the jungles between Cochin, China, and Yunnan. Huang Moon is the god worship there. I'd say somebody made off with a dagger belonging in his temple.
You are exactly right, Mr. Packard. 2 months ago, a certain person visited our village. When he depart, dagger depart with him.
Well, why would he want an oriental pig's dagger?
Blade of dagger of Quang Moon is solid gold, Mr. Long. The hilt is encrusted with a most perfect of emeralds, rupees, and diamonds.
Well, ain't no wonder you folks are doing a slow burn.
More important is the fact that my people fear that Quang Moon angry with them. Our crops have been blighted. Disease and famine threaten entire nation.
This will all be corrected the minute the dagger is back in the temple, of course.
So my people believe. That is why I follow man responsible to United States. But this country is very unfamiliar to me and my bodyguard, Qin Lu. We need assistance of men we can trust. Who know its customs and habits?
Well, you come to the right spot, Prince. Is that right, Jack?
Mm. You will be rewarded, of course. Upon the hilt of dagger is Quang Moon Ruby, a most perfect gem of its kind in all world. You return dagger to me, and the ruby is yours.
What's the name of the character who took the dagger?
He was known to us as Paul Cavanari.
And you've traced him to the United States?
Oh, yes. Even more definite than that. To Chicago.
Oh, Windy City, huh? Any address there?
We found the envelope among his effects. It was addressed to him on a street known as Wentworth. Here is address.
Well, that should help. Anything else?
Only one little thing. Dagger was seen yesterday by one of our countrymen in Chicago.
Well, now you really bring us up to date. Where was it at?
Falling from small bridge into Lincoln Park Lagoon.
Falling into the lagoon? How come? Was it thrown in?
Oh, no, Mr. Packard. He was buried between shoulders of Paul Cavanari.
Some
Some looker at Princess, huh, Jack? And that perfume she wore, oh, it does things to a feller.
Yeah, maybe that's why we're in something a little deeper than we figured, Doc.
What's that supposed to mean?
A report from Chicago said that somebody slipped Paul Carbonari a Diger Mickey and dumped his body into the Lincoln Park Lagoon.
Sure, but the police closed in before her buddies could recover it. What's wrong with that?
Nothing. Only while you were getting our plane tickets, I called Chicago Homicide. No corpse by the name of Carbonari has turned up, and nobody reported a stabbing in Lincoln Park.
Well, Jack, if there's such a strong suspicion of double cross about this case, why we're taking it on?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe curiosity. Maybe to keep you from having to wrestle alligators. Or maybe that perfume got me, too.
You know something, Jack? Darn colorful street, this Wentworth Avenue.
Yeah. Tourist eye view of Chicago's Chinatown.
What you reckon that Cavaliere hombre was doing in this part of town?
Well, we'll know pretty quick. Here's the address now.
Yeah, gents?
Here, keep the change.
Thanks, pal.
Oh, Jack, this can't be the right place.
It's the address the princess gave it.
But take a gander at that neon sign. Blue Celestial Mortuary. It's a high-class burying parlor. That Cavaliere feller can't live there.
Only one way to find out. Let's go in.
Little depressing, ain't it?
What'd you expect, dancing girls?
No, but they'd have.
Good evening, gentlemen. Is there some service we of the Blue Celestial Mortuary may perform for you?
Well, we hope so. We're looking for a Mr. Paul Carbonari.
Mr. Carbonari. Of course, gentlemen. This way, gentlemen.
And he does hang out here. Now, if we can get him to crack about that dagger...
Don't worry about that when we meet him.
Here you are, gentlemen. Mr. Carbonari.
Thanks.
What? Hey.
If I do say so myself, the Blue Celestial Mortuary has done a magnificent job. One would swear he was still alive.
Wouldn't they, though?
Oh, poor Paul. Last place I wanted to see him was in a coffin.
Yes, a sad case. Very sad. Cut down in the bloom of manhood.
Well, accidents can happen to anybody.
Accident?
Well, of course accidents. You don't think Paul just deliberately jumped off that bridge in the lagoon, do you?
Bridge? Lagoon? Someone must have misinformed you, sir. Mr. Carbonari died of natural causes. A heart attack.
You sure of that?
Certainly. We have a copy of the death certificate.
You remember who signed it?
Why, a Dr. Jansen or Jenkins, something like that.
Well, would you mind getting it for us? It would relieve our minds so much to see it. You know how kin folks is.
Why, I'd be happy to, sir. It will only take a moment. I'll be right back.
How about that?
The whole darn thing don't make no sense, son. You don't reckon somebody's pulling our leg, do you?
I'll buy that, but who and why?
And you've got me. Did Cavaliere get dunked into the lagoon or not? And what about that Quang Moon dagger in the back business?
Well, that's one thing we can settle right now.
But, Jack, a death certificate. You heard him.
Nobody can forge a stab wound, Doc.
Oh, you mean have a look for herself?
What else?
Well, it's darn distasteful, but... it's got to be done, I'm your boy.
Then let's go to it. Our mortician friend will be back in a minute.
Jack, that was a 45.
Come on, run.
Yep. There, which way?
There's the office, the end of the corridor.
Somebody's starting to play kind of rough around here.
Yeah. Yeah, he's dead, all right.
But who done it? Don't look like there's nobody around.
The open window explains that. Come on, let's get back to the chapel. I want to talk to that organist.
Think he might be in on to know about all this?
I don't know, but he's the only one left still alive around here. There's the chapel. We'll hit the organ loft first. Uh-oh.
Yeah, we're kind of late. Our little bird seems to have flowed his musical coup.
It's not the only one. Take a look at the coffin.
At the Jack, a corpse is gone.
Yeah, our pal Carbonari won't stay put, apparently.
Thank you.
is, Doc. The Hung Shu Mu, the Red Tree Flower Shop.
But I don't see what we're doing going to a flower shop, son.
Somebody sent a carload of flowers to Covent Yard from this place. If we can learn who it was, we may have a lead on what to do next. Come on, let's go in.
Good evening, gentlemen. Is there something I could do for you?
Yeah, it could be. You delivered a load of flowers to the Blue Celestial Mortuary recently, didn't you?
Yes, that's right. Did you wish to order some similar ones?
Well, that depends on how cooperative you can be.
We pride ourselves on our service, sir. I'm sure we can supply you with whatever you wish.
Mm-hmm. Well, then try this for size. Who sent those other flowers?
I'm sorry, sir. I am not at liberty to say.
Now, look, Hangtown Fry, you ain't no doctor nor lawyer. Ain't no professional secrets in your business.
If a client of yours wished to remain anonymous, would you disclose the identity, Miss Long?
Uh-oh. Hey, Jack, my fame must be spreading. Doggone, Fu Manchu, how'd you know my name?
I was told to expect your arrival.
Who is your interested informer?
And if you say Paul Carverini, I ain't gonna believe it.
No, it was the person whose identity you seek.
Hey, what'll it take to make you come across as something besides double talk?
Nothing, Mr. Packard. And the message was left for you at the same time.
Okay, let's have it.
The northwest corner of Wentworth and Fowler.
Come again, sport.
The northwest corner of Wentworth and Fowler.
What's that supposed to mean?
I'm afraid I do not know. However, the corner is only a few yards from the shop. Why not investigate and see?
Jack, this kid may be making sense of that.
Maybe. Come on, Doc. Thanks for your trouble.
Do not mention it, Mr. Pocket. We like to build up goodwill for future business.
Oh, man.
And do not forget, gentlemen, we specialize in funerals. Good night.
That hombre gives a good deal more than he takes.
I mean, he knows a good deal more than he says.
Well, that seems to be a fact about everybody in this case, with the exception of us.
Well, there's the sign. Wentworth and Fowler, and this is the northwest corner. Now what?
Well, don't seem to be nothing interesting here. Just a vacant lot with some signboards around it.
That message meant something. Hey, Doc, that car.
Jack, that fellow leaning out the window. He's got...
John, Doc, get out.
Hey, Doc, you all right?
What you mean, am I all right? I landed on my doggone crazy bone and spoiled my aim. Must have missed them gunmen a mile.
Yeah, I didn't do so well myself. Well, we know what that message meant now.
Yeah, some message. Hey, did you get a look at that polecat that was shooting that Tommy gun?
Yeah.
Something mighty familiar about him, wasn't it?
It should be. He was Princess Mai Ling's bodyguard, Chin Lu. Back to the flower shop, quick.
Yeah, man. Flower man don't seem to be around.
Maybe in that back room. Let's hit it.
Come on. I'm right eager to exchange a few words with that son of Satan, punctuated with a right cross or two.
Well, leave him enough lift to talk about that message, Doc.
Yeah. Well, don't seem to be in here neither. Now, where are you supposed to...
Hey, hold it down. The door to the refrigerator room's open. Somebody's in there.
Refrigerator room? Oh, for the flowers. Hey, hold it, fella. I can see a shadow in the looking glass.
He hasn't heard us yet. Must be almost soundproof in there.
Well, why deprive him of our company?
That's just what I was thinking. Come on.
Yeah. Yank that door open and surprise him, son. He got it coming at the little party we just had.
Check. Okay, here we go. All right, pal. How about... Look out, Doc. Catch him.
Yeah. Oh, too late.
How about that?
So it wasn't the florist leaning against that door. It was our missing pal, Paul Cavaliari.
Yeah.
Now, what was he doing in here, you reckon?
Take a look at his clothes.
Why, they half tore off of him.
Which means that whoever hijacked him from the mortuary put him in here to give him a good frisking. And incidentally, he wasn't killed by the Quang Moon dagger.
Yeah, so I see. Him punctures in his chest. Looks like he's made by 38 caliber. What'd you pick up there, son?
Ticket or something. Punched by a timestamp. Here, take a look.
Boat concession, Lincoln Park Lagoon, time out 5:17, time in 5:29. What in thunder do you suppose that means?
Looks like he took a rowboat ride on the lagoon sometime before he died.
Couldn't have liked it very much. He was only out 12 minutes.
Hey, Doc, I got a hunch.
Let's get out of here.
You will not bother to turn around, Mr. Parker.
Well, well, so Carbonari had company in the refrigerator room.
You've been crouched down among them flowers all the time?
Keep facing the wall and do not offer any resistance as my men disarm and bind you. Those are gun barrels you feel pressing against your spines.
Well, I'll take your word for it, but is there any particular reason for the pistol massage? And who are you?
I am Dr. Jen King.
How about that? I knew there was someone else we should have checked on.
You will have your chance now. You and I are going to have a talk. A long overdue talk about Paul Cavagnari and the Quang Moon dagger. I trust you are quite comfortable here in my quarters, Mr. Packard.
I'll do. Where's Doc?
He is being held in the next room. But do not be concerned. No harm will come to either of you as long as cooperation is the keynote of this little meeting.
Okay, cooperation it is. You begin. What's your business with us?
I am Dr. Jen Kin, Mr. Packard, head of a large hospital in Hanoi, French Indochina.
Haven't you got your professions mixed up a little? That was a gun I saw in your hand, not a scalpel.
There are times, Mr. Packard, when it is necessary for a man of medicine to take up arms in defense of his profession.
That pitch was a little wide, Doctor. Come again.
Very well. 2 months ago, my hospital was robbed of over $1 million worth of radium. I suspected a man I had known casually in Hanoi by the name of Paul Cavagnari.
Seems to me I've heard this somewhere before. You trailed him to the States, learned he was in Chicago.
Yes, Mr. Packard. But I could not locate him here. I was about to give up the search 2 days ago when I received a phone call from him.
Uh-huh. 8 to 5, he was giving you a chance to buy your radium back.
Precisely. At a price considerably lower than I would have to pay to replace it on the open market. However, he also mentioned the possibility of my having to buy the Quang Moon dagger. I agreed to discuss the proposition with him and went to meet him. The place he had chosen was a most unusual one.
I can take the ball from here, Doctor. The place was the Lincoln Park Lagoon.
Yes.
Cavagnari was dead when you got there.
That is correct.
And there was no radium.
There was no radium.
And so you had him picked up by the Blue Celestial Mortuary, signed a fake death certificate, and left him lying in state to see who might show up.
I still had hopes of recovering that radium, Mr. Packard. And it occurred to me that if the people who had killed him for it found no mention of his murder in the paper, they might wonder why. Might be driven by guilt and fear to learn what had happened to him.
Pretty long shot, Doctor.
It paid off, Mr. Packard. You and Mr. Long visited the mortuary.
Yeah. Who is your stool pigeon there? The organist?
Well, that is quite correct. Unfortunately, he ran out to try to intercept the mortician's murderer and did not see or remove the body. However, he did trail you to the florist shop, where he learned your identity and got in touch with me by telephone. So, and now, Mr. Packard, it is your turn to cooperate.
Okay, I'll get your radium for you.
As I thought. You do have it.
Nope, but neither do the lads who bumped off Cavagnari.
How do you know that?
Because he didn't it. That's why they came back to snatch his body. They hadn't been able to find the stuff and were looking for something to tip them off as to where it was.
And do you know where it is, Mr. Packard?
No, but I can find it and get the Quang Moon dagger for myself if you release us right away. If not, it'll be too late. It's your last chance, Doctor.
You are presuming rather heavily upon my gullibility, are you not?
I'm presuming you're a doctor, that you realize what that radium means to your patients.
Yes. Yes, there are thousands of my countrymen now doomed to die who will live if I bring it back to Hanoi with me. Very well, Mr. Packard. You shall be released at once.
But, Jack, you believe this Jin Kin feller story?
Makes sense, Doc.
Well, sure, I'm happy to know that, son. I wouldn't ever have guessed.
You won't have to guess much longer.
You mean there's some action coming up?
Well, there should be a little excitement.
Well, where and when?
In about 10 minutes, near the boathouse, on the Lincoln Park Lagoon. We'll take the rowboat on the end, Doc.
You mean we going rowing at this time of night?
Why not? Cagliari went somewhere. It took him 12 minutes to get there and back.
But where could a feller go in this overgrown wading pool and that... Oh, that little wooded island at the upper end. Is that the spot you mean?
I don't know, Doc, but we're going to row over there and find out.
Look, Jack, if this is the action you promised me, let's take a crack at guessing again.
Don't give up the ship. We're almost there.
Yeah.
And I got a hunch you'll have enough action in the next few minutes to... See what I mean?
Hey, over the side, Doc. Quick.
Jack, the water's awful darn cold from my Saturday night tub.
Yeah. Well, he's trying to make it hot enough for us.
Well, the boat's a pretty good shield. Shall we kind of ease it islandward, maybe, huh?
Yeah, that's a general idea. Let's go. We're nearly there. When we touch bottom, make a dash for it.
Yeah.
Hit the deck at the first cover we come to.
You bet you. Shades of Omaha Beach on D-Day.
Okay, Doc, let's go.
You still okay, son?
No complaints. What about you?
These here bramble thickets ain't my idea of a feather bed. Otherwise, I'm just fine.
Good.
Wonder what's happened to our bloodthirsty gun.
Probably got it spotted. Moving in for the kill.
Let's make that our happy thought for the day. Ought to be some way to upset his plan. You got any ideas?
Yeah. Last time he fired was from behind that elm tree. I'm going to shove off for it.
But he ain't there now. If he's moving in on us, he... Oh, I get it. You'll draw as far so I can shoot at the muzzle flash.
Right. Keep your eyes open.
Just leave it to your Uncle Dudley. Good luck, son.
There I go.
Hey, Jack. Hello, Jack, can you hear me? Jack, are you all right, fella?
Okay, Doc, come on. Everything's under control.
Well, say so then. How'd I make out with a firecracker, King?
You'll have a pretty sore shoulder for a very long time.
Hey, well, it's our old friend Chenaloo, so he was the one sniping at us.
Yeah, if you take a gander on the ground behind this tree, you'll see why.
Well, look at that there on the ground beside that hole.
Yeah, the Quang Moon dagger, right where Paul Cavagnari had hidden it.
You mean our job is done?
As soon as we get Chenaloo to a hospital and fly back to L.A., take a deep breath, Doc. The next one you take may be filled with Princess Mai Ling's perfume.
So, Mr. Packard, my own servant, Chenaloo, tried to obtain Quang Moon dagger behind my back?
That's the way it looks, all right.
Yeah, don't take it so hard, Princess. After all, we did bring the dagger back to Los Angeles with us.
You have done really much to make my people happy again. I do not know how to tell you how grateful I am. You have dagger?
Yeah, here in this drawer. You know, Princess, this dagger is not only ornamental, it's a pretty good weapon. Sharp point, keen steel blade. Yeah, I was a little surprised. I thought you said the blade was solid gold.
I did, Mr. Packard. But I had not seen dagger in recent years. My memory played tricks on me.
Oh, played tricks about the gems on the hilt, too.
Oh, I had not forgotten your fee, Mr. Packard. The giant ruby will be yours?
Don't bother. There's not much of a market for paste these days.
Paste?
She acts surprised, yeah.
But I am surprised. I had no idea.
I suppose you didn't know that the hilt was hollow and that Paul Cavagnari smuggled the stolen radium into this country inside it.
Stolen radium? What are you talking about, Mr. Packard?
Now, come off it, Princess. You, Cavagnari, and Chenaloo were in on that robbery together. Only Cavagnari tried to slip you the double cross and sell the stuff on the hot market in Chicago.
What is this fantastic story?
When you heard the Red Hots, he tried to sell it to, double-crossed him and bumped him off, you came to us. hoping we'd find out where he'd hidden the stuff.
But your number one boy, Chin Lu, got to Chicago ahead of us and hijacked Cavagliari's body to search it for clues that might have been missed. When he found that boat ride ticket and figured out what it meant, well, me and Jack was superfluous property.
That's why you baited that trap at the florist and tried to bump us off. After that, you came back to L.A. while Chin Lu tore out to the lagoon to pick up the loot. That's why...
Okay, you dirty double-crossing machine!
Look out, Jack!
You won't let the pin this on...
Let's have that sticker, baby!
I'll kill you, Packard! I'll kill you!
Drop it, baby! Drop it! That's better. Doc, open the door.
With pleasure.
And now, Princess, you can make your exit.
I'll have your stinking eyes for this. You won't get away with it, you rat! You won't...
Wow.
Yeah, my sentiments, exactly. What a hellcat a lovely damsel turn out to be.
Yeah. Stolen goods detail outside and take care of her. Well, Quang Moon Dagger. Just as false a piece of guilt as Princess Mai Ling's soul.
But what kills my soul is that the beautiful ruby on the hilt is false, too. All that brain work and gun shooting and no payoff.
Oh, I don't know. The hospital in Indochina will get its radium back as fast as Dr. Jen Kin can get it there. And when you think of some thousands of people who'll get another crack at life now...
Yeah, maybe you got something, my son. Oh, well, mark down another two-fisted experience in the tarred old files of the A1. By the way, let me have that telephone, will you, son?
Huh? Oh, sure. Yeah.
Thank you.
Who are you calling now?
RKM Studios, about an alligator.
Hey, wait a minute. You're not taking that gag seriously.
Why, of course I am. After the Princess Mai Ling, I ought to be able to throw one of them amphibious critters 2 out of 3 falls with a Quang Moon dagger tied behind my back.
Have just heard Isle of Adventure, a new Carl D. Morse production featuring Michael Raffetto as Jack Packard and Barton Yarborough as Doc Long. Next week, incident number 11 entitled Assignment with a Displaced Person, an affair of a girl and a black market operator. Other players in tonight's show include Lillian Baya, Lou Krugman, Russell Thorson, and Harry Lang. The Quang Moon Dagger was written by Sidney Marshall. Organ music by Rex Corey. Your announcer, Jim Butters.
Radio show this week, but we got more old time radio coming. You can find more old time radio at relicradio.com and links to our blog and forum and everything else. It's relicradio.com. You can email me, relicradio@gmail.com. Thanks for joining me this Tuesday. I'll be back next Tuesday with another episode of the Relic Radio Show.